This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
Four o'clock hour here, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. We'll be joined on the horn by Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World here in just a few moments. Kevin Knox, top 10 recruit. He's down to Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, Missouri entered the mix with Michael Porter Jr. committing there last month. And he recently turned down a $1.4 million offer to play in China next season. Now, he's certainly not the first top-flight recruit to get offers to play overseas for money. He won't be the last. I'm assuming most of these guys do get these offers. They're just not publicized because I'm sure they quietly and politely decline the offers. There were rumors that Josh Jackson was entertaining offers to go play overseas. There are rumors that Trayvon Duvall is getting those offers. But if they never see the light of day, then you do wonder how much merit or how much these guys are realistically considering going there. Now, Knox's father recently said that they spent too much time meeting with coaches and schools to kind of abandon that process now. And they also have taken out a $1 million insurance policy for if he were to get injured this next year. At the very least, he would bank some money in the long run. He wouldn't be completely out, which is what a lot of these high-profile college athletes do. A lot of them take out insurance policies just to protect against injuries or things that would prevent them from earning any money in the NBA or even in the NFL in the future. But I do want, because we hear this all the time, that, hey, and it's not out of the question for this kid to go play overseas, but most of the time it is. Like, most of the time, you don't hear about those kids going and playing overseas. And the few who have chosen to do that, a lot of times it was because of the fact that they had eligibility concerns. That was the case with Terrence Ferguson, who was committed to go play his ball at Arizona. Eligibility concerns, he goes and plays overseas. Emmanuel Mudiay, a few years before that, there was some rumors that there were eligibility concerns, but he goes and takes a big payday to go play in China. Brandon Jennings went and played in Italy 1 year before going to the NBA. So it's not as though it hasn't been done, but I do wonder if at any point we will see those floodgates open up a bit. I think the offers are going to have to get fatter. I think they're going to have to offer these kids more money, because making $1 million in China for one season, they're going to be making well over $1 million per year if they're a top five, a top 10 pick in the draft. So it doesn't really compare to the NBA money, but it's certainly a lot more than they're making playing in college. Now, there's more to it than just money in terms of, well, you're not really getting that same platform playing halfway across the world as you are playing in college ball. But platform for who, right? Like, that's the question. What is the platform? What exactly are we talking about? Being noticed, being recognizable by the time you get to the league. Brandon Jennings went and played in Italy, and he's been playing in the league for the past 10 years. So it hasn't really hurt his earning potential. Emmanuel Mudiay went to China. He was a top 10 pick. Hasn't really hurt his earning potential. And we'll see what happens to Terrence Ferguson. You know, he was a projected lottery pick, and now he still could be one of those guys. So I do wonder at what point the floodgates open and guys start to realize, you know what, maybe playing for nothing in college isn't a better option. Now, if it was proposed to me, if I were a top flight recruit and I could go to Kansas, Kentucky, or Duke, or I could go play in China for $2 million, I'd probably bet on myself, like a lot of these kids do. I don't really need that $1 million right now, because that's going to be pocket change to me a year from now. But what about a guy like Harry Giles, right? He was the number one recruit coming out of high school. People were saying he would have went number one in last year's draft. He goes to Duke. Well, he tears his ACL his senior year of high school, goes to Duke, never gets over those injury concerns. Now, if you look at mock draft boards, he's projected to be a mid to late first rounder, maybe sneak into the lottery. So injuries cost Harry Giles a lot of money, right? In the long run, they are going to end up costing him money because, well, he didn't get to go pro out of high school. He didn't get to be the number one overall pick, and now he's going to be making significantly less money than he would have had he been eligible to go pro after his first year. As we welcome on Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World, almost slipped up there. I wouldn't do that to you, Matt. How you doing, man? Oh, you're going to have to turn that on. You're going to have to turn Matt on because he's not on the air. Matt, you got me.
I can hear you.
All right, I got you, man.
Can the world hear me?
Finally. And you know what? They even that brief moment was too long to go without your voice. I appreciate you hopping on with me. We were just talking about this, and maybe it's a trivial discussion to even have, but you know, the Kevin Knox, this kid who's a top 10 recruit, and he's down to Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, Mizzou. His dad recently said he turned down a $1.4 million offer to go play in China next season. Do you think that we'll ever reach a point to where kids are not just entertaining it, but seriously considering playing overseas ball for money as opposed to spending their 1 year in college?
I think it'll be a situation where it's rare, but I do think we'll see it. And I think it'll be largely based on circumstances that create the need. You know, I mean, there's a lot of these kids that do need money and their families do need the financial support. So I think that will happen eventually. It's awfully tough. Like you just said, what was it? $1.4 million? I mean, that's a pretty nice chunk of change that can change the lives of you and your family and those close to you in a hurry. So I think if it were more of a need for someone like Kevin Knox, that's one thing. But I think what you miss by doing it that way and just going for the money is you miss the opportunity to market yourself further. And that's, you know, like it or not, right, wrong, or indifferent, the NCAA experience now, especially at the basketball level, has almost become exactly that, you know, a free marketing tool for the NBA. And not just for the NBA, it's not completely one-sided. You know, these players get something out of it, too. I mean, Josh Jackson is a household name across the country for the most part now. So if he goes to Philly or Boston or L.A. or wherever he ends up, those fans are already going to know who he is. If he's been playing the last year in China making $1 million, they're less likely to know who he is already, or at least the masses won't know who he is as well. So that I think factors into it. I think it's about money, sure, and all things seem to be in these types of conversations, but it's not just the money, because there's also that marketability and the fact that actually in the long run can earn you more money. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see it, but I think it'll be sprinkled in more than it would be sort of like a trend or something that it becomes a craze or something like that.
Yeah, I think two things would have to happen in order for that to take place, in order for it to become a trend. The first thing would have to be not just a McDonald's All-American, not just one of the best recruits, but like the guy. Like if Josh Jackson last year, which there were rumblings that he was considering playing overseas, it never really matured to that level, but if a guy like Josh Jackson said, you know what, I don't have eligibility concerns, I could go play college ball, but I'd rather go make money. That would be the first thing that would need to happen, because I think if a guy like that did, then maybe everybody else looks around and goes, what's going on there? And I think the second part would have to be, you got whoever, if you're going to play in China or Italy or wherever, they're going to have to pony up. Like $1.5 million, yeah, that's a pretty nice chunk of change for a 17, 18-year-old kid, but it kind of pales in comparison to what they're going to be making at the next level, and I'm sure they're looking at that. They're saying, well, you know, I'm going to get a $5 million signing bonus next year, so I don't really care about your $1.5 million, but all of a sudden, if these teams are saying, you know what, we'll offer you $4 million, you come over here for 9 months, one-year deal, then maybe it is more of a discussion to be had.
Yeah, and that's it's interesting to think about that, because, you know, who knows if that'll happen. I'm sure the European and Chinese and that side of the game would absolutely love for that to happen. But would they love it enough to put their money where their mouth is, like you're saying? That's hard to know. I mean, without knowing the inner workings of who funds those leagues and those organizations and things like that, you know, I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to know if that's in the future or in the forecast or not. But I agree. I think you get the one guy to do it, and guys all of a sudden will follow quickly, or at least potentially follow a little bit more quickly than than if you just have, you know, the number 22 ranked player in the class do it or something like that. So, I hope not. I mean, I'm already upset with the college game becoming a little bit watered down because of the one and done phenomenon, and you know, I don't want to see it get worse. So I certainly hope it doesn't happen that way, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, did you see the John Calipari 30 for 30 last week?
I haven't seen it yet. No, I've got it recorded, and I'm dying to watch it. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, it, talk about a marketing tool. I mean, that's genius by him to make that happen, and I'm sure it didn't take much work by him because he and his program, whichever program he's ever been at, are always such compelling figures. So I'm sure it was something that they approached him, and of course he said yes. That's going to make him look really good in a hurry and you know, be even more exposure than he already has. But I'm anxious to see it.
Well, one of the things that they kind of hammer home is that whether when he was at Memphis, when he was at UMass before that with Marcus Camby, is that when these guys are projected top three, top five picks, and if they're coming to him saying, you know what, I want to come back and win a national championship, I want to come back because I have, you know, to steal a line from Devontae Graham, unfinished business, he kind of says no. Like, he pushes them out the door. He says, no, you're a top three pick. You're a top five pick. You go. You get your money now because you never know what can happen in that next year. So imagine a scenario in which Josh Jackson walks into Bill Self's office and says, hey, coach, I really want to come back for my sophomore season because I want to win a national championship. I'm not happy with the way my season ended this past year. Can you envision a scenario in which Bill Self says, no thanks, Josh, you need to go to the NBA?
I think he would do a lot to try to talk whoever, Josh or whoever that would be, into making the right decision. Now, you know, if the kid's hell-bent on the idea of coming back and that's that, I don't think he's going to, you know, say, nope, we won't have you. We just won't have you. You know, I don't think that there's any way that he would do that. If it's something, and, you know, I really do believe this. I think Self would talk to the family and make sure that this isn't just the kid making some emotional decision and being reckless with his future, you know. So, but if that were the case and he talked to mom and dad and the kid was convincing and it was something where I was like, yeah, he really does want to do this, then, you know. I mean, nothing different than what happened with Miles Bridges at Michigan State. I'm sure that Tom Izzo was fair with him. I'm sure Tom Izzo said, look, are you guys sure? You know, you're probably a lottery pick, and that's, you know, you're a multimillionaire in a hurry. But I get it, and if you want to come back and you want to be a top two pick or the number one pick or whatever it is and playing college basketball is exciting enough for you to go ahead and put yourself through that, hey, bud, we'll take you with open arms. But you know, I believe that Izzo probably made sure that was the right decision, and I think Self would do the same. I mean, I think they do look at it as having a responsibility and obligation to these kids, and you know, they bring them here to prepare them for their futures. And you know, I know a lot of people think that's a line of crap, but I do think that's a big part of it. And I don't think it's just a purely one-sided thing where these coaches just bring these kids in to win and, you know, further their agenda and their brand, and then they just use them and dump them off. You know, if that were the case, you wouldn't hear all this talk about the Kansas basketball family and all of that stuff and see all these guys continue to come back to Lawrence years after they've been playing here and things like that. So I don't think Self would deny the kid a chance to come back, but I do think he would spend some significant time, you know, making sure the kid understands what that decision means and making sure that that's the decision he and his family want to make.
Talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Okay, back to the international waters scenario. Let's put you, Matt Tate, the writer, into those shoes. Kim Jong-un calls you from North Korea. He says, Matt, I don't know how much you're making, but I'm going to offer you $5 million a year. You move over to Pyongyang and you cover all of our professional sports franchises. We're going to make you the premier North Korean sports writer, $5 million a year. Are you accepting his offer?
Man, I mean, if you give me like Italy or England
no,
or
North Korea. Or,
this took a turn. I wasn't expecting the darkness to come out today. But no, you know, I mean, that's me. And
$5 million a year, Matt. That's life-changing money.
No, I you know, anyone that knows me knows I'm not lying. I mean, I would probably try to negotiate here. I'd say, okay, I'm making $4,000 for the Journal World, so, you know, $5 million is the offer on the table. If you bump me up to, you know, $2.5 million, I'll stay. You know, no, I mean, no, I wouldn't play it that way either. I'm not totally stupid, but you know, I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, you know, people have asked me a lot about, you know, when are you going to move on? When are you moving up? And you know, the bottom line, and you probably know this, Mick, knowing me as well as you do already, that I love it here. I mean, this is, you know, partly where I grew up. I've got a great opportunity to cover, you know, one of the premier programs in college athletics, and you know, it'd take a little bit more than money to get me to move away from here. Like I said, if
you don't think you'd enjoy the quality of life in North Korea?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to knock it. I haven't tried it, so it doesn't seem like it would be my cup of tea. But you know, I'm in case these phones are bugged or whatever, I'm not going to try to say anything that gets me in any kind of trouble with anybody. So. But your point's taken. I mean, you know, that's kind of what it comes down to. That kind of an offer is basically what these kids might someday face, and you know, maybe not the North Korea aspect of it, but my gosh, man, if someone's throwing $5 million at you, literally for 1 year, and then you still jump into the draft and try to make, you know, your NBA career after that. That's tough. That's really tough to say no to.
We're talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. Because for most of these kids, for these elite-level talents, the Josh Jacksons, the Andrew Wiggins, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Lonzo Ball, all of these kids, while as college fans sometimes are selfish in thinking that, yes, they care about winning in college and they want to win national championships and hang banners, like these kids, much like people in all walks of life, you want to compete at the highest level of your profession. The goal for all of them is to get them to the NBA, and I think what Calipari has done so well is not just get those guys to the NBA, but let it be known that this is what I care about. That when he comes out 2 years ago and said, my goal isn't to win a national championship, it's to get, you know, 10 guys drafted, and it rubs fans the wrong way, but what I think people don't necessarily pay attention to is the fact that when you're taking care of these kids and giving them what they want, more kids are going to take notice of that, which is why I think that, you know, maybe it would behoove Bill Self to say, actually, Josh, I need you to go, from a selfish standpoint of, if you come back and get injured, then you go from being a top 3 pick to maybe a top 15 pick. It doesn't look as good in my resume, because we know how much they use that I've sent X amount of players to the draft, I've had X amount of players drafted in the top 5. Sure, you look out for them and their well-being, but from Kansas's standpoint, you've got a kid who's about to be a top 3 pick. That's good for business.
Well, yeah, that's just it. I mean, the year that Wiggins went 1 and Embiid went 3, Bill Self and Kansas were toast of the town. You know, that was a big deal. And I've seen it. I've covered the draft 5 times and 5 years in a row there for a while, and that's, you know, John Calipari's there. He's working the room. He's you know, loving that his guys are bringing this kind of light and spotlight and love to his program. And it is. It's just a cycle that continues. So, you know, getting back to what you were saying at the beginning there, I don't doubt that there's any, you know, that I think there's a strong part of Josh Jackson that if things were different, if circumstances, let's say this. Let's say the rule was that you had to play 2 years of college and then you could go pro.
Yeah.
I don't think Josh Jackson would have any issue with coming back if that was the rule. I think he would look forward to it. I think he would embrace it. I think he would love it. I don't think he would be the guy that you know, is the family that gets a lawyer and tries to sue, like, what was my man's name? Maurice Claret from the Ohio State football program a bunch of years ago. You know, I don't think Jackson would be that guy. I think he enjoyed Kansas. I think he enjoyed playing for Self. I think he enjoyed the field house. I think he enjoyed the notoriety and the love that you get by being at Kansas and playing for that program on a national stage. So if that were the rule, this is the guy that would be like, cool, yeah, let's do this. I'll try it again, and maybe next year I won't foul twice in the first 3 minutes, and we'll make it to the Final Four, and that'll be cool. But since it's not, and since this is the current reality, there's no way he thought about coming back, even as much as he can admit and even tell people, yeah, I would have enjoyed it. But that's not how it works. It just doesn't go that way. And so, he, you know, this was never a decision that he had to make. You know that. And dozens and dozens and hundreds of other people know that. I mean, this was just a business as usual and what you got to do and for all the reasons that we just outlined.
And I do agree with you that the one-and-done era has kind of watered down the product a little bit. And I know John Calipari takes some flack for maybe expediting that, for making it even worse than it would have been. But there is an aspect of it that makes me wonder, well, if John Calipari wasn't doing this, we wouldn't complain as much. We wouldn't be clamoring to fix it. We wouldn't be clamoring saying that this is not right and we need to do something about it. And furthermore, whether it's Calipari or Bill Self or Mike Krzyzewski, I don't think it's these coaches' jobs to try and make the best of the situation for college basketball as a whole. I think you try and do what's best for these kids, you do what's best for your program, and I think the guys who have succeeded the most have kind of walked that line, Bill Self chief amongst them, to whereas, yeah, he's happy to send Josh Jackson to the league or Andrew Wiggins or Joel Embiid to the league, but he also will sit there and admit that, yeah, this isn't ideal, having to kind of navigate these rules and create this watered-down product that we have in college basketball.
Yeah, and I, you know, the thing is, I think they've all embraced it. I think they've all accepted it. I think they all recognize and realize, hey, this is the way it is. We're not going to hold our breath for any change anytime soon. I mean, to get that thing changed would take a lot, I think. And it would start at the NBA level, and you know, there would have to be some support and some momentum from the college level, which I think they would get no problem. But you know, it would have to start at the NBA level, and I don't know why the NBA would ever go there, because it's a free year of marketing the next wave of stars. I mean, Anthony Davis comes into the league, he's already a star. You know, Andrew Wiggins came into the league, he was already a star. He was already a household name. He was already the guy that had just been on the cover of all kinds of magazines. I mean, Andrew Wiggins was on GQ, I think, cover, yeah. You know, I mean, Slam, not just Sports Illustrated, you know, so it's crazy to think that unless it gets really deep into the legal systems and it becomes a mess that people just, okay, we'll fix it just so it goes away. It's crazy to think that the NBA would ever have any desires to change it, because right now it is an absolutely perfect system for them. So, you know, what more do you need? What more do you want than that if you're them? And you know, frankly, could the college game improve? Yeah, I wish we could see a lot more guys like Miles Bridges. I wish that would happen a lot more. I wish there was more of that, not just at the major programs, but everywhere, you know, but it's rare, and it's kind of cool too. It's kind of cool that's a thing that Miles Bridges stands out for now. He's the guy that came back. I was looking at it. We might have talked about it last week. I think we probably did. But the, you know, Tim Duncan is the guy that comes to mind 20 years ago, and I think we did talk about it. So, you know, more guys like Miles Bridges would be great for the college game, but I think they're going to stay rare. And I don't think the NBA is in any way, shape, or form willing to fix that thing anytime soon. And I say fix because that's what college basketball fans think. But in the eyes of the NBA guys, it's not a broken system at all. It's working perfectly for them. But I also think that you know, Bill Self and Tom Izzo and John Calipari and those types of guys, I think they would love to see it change too. I do think that. I mean, they put a lot of time and effort into recruiting these one-and-done kids, and then they get them for 9 or 10 months. You know, that's tough. And especially in the case of someone like Andrew Wiggins, you know, all that time they spent trying to get him, and they get to the second round with him. You know, that doesn't mean that's all they got, but man, you'd like to get more than that out of the deal. And, you know, so I think they would all love to see a change, but I really don't think any of them are holding their breaths that it will anytime soon.
He's Matt Tate. I'm Nick Schwert. New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. Matt, judging by the background noise during this conversation, I think I can give a play-by-play on exactly what you've been doing during this phone call. I think you left the office. You had a big box of something in your hands. You walked to your car. You had trouble fitting it in your trunk. Then you got in the car, started it, and now you're driving home. And I think at some point you forgot to buckle your seatbelt. So the seatbelt dinger came on and reminded you to click it.
How you, you know, you're scaring me a little bit.
How close was I?
Well, pretty close. I'm guessing you didn't hear the under my breath cussing that I did, which shows you that I dropped the box. No. So I'm glad that didn't get across the air. That would have been bad. But, you know, the reality is what you've got me scared most about is the fact that you opened the show, or sort of opened the show, by asking me if I wanted to go to North Korea for a $5 million salary.
Uh-huh.
And now you're giving a play-by-play of what I'm doing. It's almost like you're kind of like Big Brother and you've got eyes on me.
You're being watched.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And, you know, you're a great dude, and I enjoy knowing you and coming on your show and all that stuff. But you're crossing over that line just a little bit.
Well,
right now.
Yeah, to be fair, the reason I asked you about the North Korea offer, that wasn't just a hypothetical. I've already been bought out by North Korea.
Oh, cool.
And so they're using me to recruit you. So, yes, I hate to break it to you. You are under 24/7 surveillance. You're being followed right now. Black Ford Taurus behind you. Yeah.
Two questions. Do you have to change your show and speak in Korean, and do I have to learn to write in Korean if we do this?
No, they'll translate it for you. You just keep doing
what
you do.
All right.
They're going to translate it for you. So maybe I should have led with that you're not going to be in it alone. I'll be heading over there with you.
Yeah, well, that is, you know, that's enticing. That's sort of like if I were Josh Jackson and you were Devontae Graham and I knew you were coming back, that would make me at least think twice about it. You know, I just threw those names out there. Maybe you're Josh Jackson and I'm Devontae Graham.
Yeah, that's more accurate.
I'm not trying to say that's how it is. But, you know, either way, yeah. No, I do have my seatbelt on now, though, so thank you for that, for sure.
Click it or ticket. He's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World. Appreciate the time, man.
All right, Nick, always fun. Take care.
All right, that's Matt Tate. I'm Nick Schwert, Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. What would it take? What's the dollar amount for you to take your current profession and go work in North Korea?
Not doing it at all.
$10 million.
Okay, think about this
a year,
for a second.
$10 million a year.
Anything you talk about on the radio in North Korea, if you say anything bad that rubs the leader the wrong way,
you have to play the game. I mean, you have to tell him what he wants to hear. I mean, there's that part of it too. There's not going to be a ton of transparency there. They're going to tell you what to write. They're going to tell you what to say.
Quality of life is not worth. Like, what are you going to do with $10 million there?
Yeah, that's the other thing. You're never leaving. Like, if you say, hey,
honey, you want to go on a vacation
Supreme,
this week?
Hey, Supreme Leader Un, I'm thinking, I've been here for 3 years. You know, I've pocketed a lot of money, but I'm thinking about maybe heading back to the States. And he goes, actually, no, you're not. No, you know, I know you guys want to keep me here, but I'm ready to go. And he goes, how do I say this? You're never leaving, ever? Like, you're going to stay here forever and write for me and talk for me forever, or else. And you know what or else means. So that's something to take into the equation as well. But make a lot of money. You'd be top dog in the media game over in North Korea. That's something to think about. He's Derek Johnson. I'm Nick Schwert, Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm going to head over to Set 'Em Up Jacks, getting ready for High School Sports Weekly on a special night tonight, a Tuesday edition. David Lawrence and myself will be joined by the Lawrence High baseball team. You can come join us at Set 'Em Up Jacks, or, of course, you can hear it all right here on KLWN immediately following the conclusion of Rock Chalk Sports Talk. More Kansas football spring game talk with Derek Johnson coming up next.